views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Grassroots Advocacy Radio, where your host, Marsha Padilla-Goad, will leave you feeling empowered, aware, and knowledgeable of what may be impacting your lives and communities politically, but without taking a political position. Get ready, really understand and discover the power you hold as a voter and how you can use your voice to educate lawmakers and influence pending legislation. Grassroots Advocacy Radio is a space for conversations that will educate, empower, influence, and engage listeners, no matter what you may be for or against, or even of a particular political party affiliation. Now is your time to find your voice and share it with others. And now, here is your host, Marsha.
Hello, everyone. I'm Marsha Padilla-Goad, and you are listening to Grassroots Advocacy Radio on Transformation Talk Radio. Join us for the next hour as we talk about the rise of kidney cancer diagnosis in our nation and the advocacy efforts that is aimed at increasing funding for research and improving patient care. According to the Centers for Disease Control, every year, more than 37,000 men and about 21,000 women get kidney cancer. Additionally, kidney cancer cases and diagnoses have been increasing annually for unknown reasons. Kidney cancer remains the deadliest of all urological malignancies, yet kidney cancer research remains vastly underfunded. Joining us for today's show to talk about these startling statistics and the advocacy efforts to improve patient outcomes is Ms. Dina Battle, President of the Kidney Cancer Research Alliance, KCCURE. KCCURE is a grassroots organization of patients, caregivers, doctors, and medical researchers who are dedicated to eliminating suffering and death due to kidney cancer through increased funding to accelerate research that will lead to a cure for all patients and prevent future kidney diagnoses. Dina, welcome to Grassroots Advocacy Radio.
Thank you, Marsha. I'm so glad to be here.
It certainly is a pleasure to have you join us. You know, Dina, in preparation for today's show, I had to do some research on my own, of course, and I will say that I am alarmed by these statistics. I think that's a huge number of people who are being diagnosed and dying from this disease each year. But I am curious to know, what made you decide to leave your job and start an advocacy organization?
Well, I think like a lot of people, I came into advocacy because of a personal experience. I worked in grassroots advocacy, but it wasn't related to kidney cancer. But in 2009, my husband was diagnosed with the disease. He was 40 years old. It was really blindsided us. They thought he had appendicitis. We went to the emergency room, and right there, they just dropped this bombshell on us that it was massive tumor on his kidney.
Wow. Yeah. I'm sure that was a quite an experience. And you know, having to suddenly, you know, start thinking about, you know, treatment plans and how do you even move forward? I can't imagine being in that experience, but can you tell us a little bit more about how you and your husband moved beyond that initial period, and was it easy for you?
Yeah, absolutely. No, and it was not easy. That's a very simple answer. It was really shocking. And just as you said, how do you move forward? I remember standing there in the emergency room and this doctor had just said, this is not appendicitis, it's cancer. And I had to stop and think, I have to go pick up the kids from daycare. Mm. And it's just this incredibly surreal experience. And because of the way that kidney cancer is diagnosed, it's usually incidentally found like that. Okay. That's a standard experience for a lot of patients and caregivers, that it's just an out of the blue, I was healthy yesterday and today I have cancer. And that creates a real barrier for a lot of patients because of that shock and that trauma.
Yeah.
It takes a little while to get beyond that before you can start educating yourself and making decisions about what kind of team you need in place and how you're going to move forward.
Right. Right. So I, in doing additional research, I came across some, really valuable resources and information. But what really caught my attention about KCCure was that it is a patient-centered research advocacy effort. And now, you leaving your job and starting this advocacy organization, I'm assuming had a lot to do with your personal experience, correct?
Right. Yeah. And unfortunately in our situation, after 5 years, Chris passed away. And in that process though, of the 5 years fighting the disease, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. we really learned so much about getting access to good care, about the treatments that were available, navigating clinical trials. Mm. And I knew I wanted to do something to make things better for other people. But I wanted to avoid that pitfall that I think happens sometimes when you lose a loved one of launching something that's just designed to honor that person. Right. I wanted it to be real. I wanted it to fill a needed gap in care.
Yes.
And I wanted it to be successful and fill a niche. So it was 3 years after Chris died that I left my job to start KCCure.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, got it. So, yeah. Wow. Wow. And that's a, I think stepping into something like that is so, it just seems so technical to me, of course, because I'm not familiar with doing medical research or stepping into something that, I have, little information about. And I know in the time between, Chris being diagnosed and him eventually passing away, you had learned so much about what the limitations were for patients, which, KCCure provides, centered a patient-centered research to improve mm-hmm. their quality of life. But what do you mean by patient-centered research? Because that can mean so many things.
It really can. Really what I wanted to do was I wanted to make sure that it can also another trap in advocacy is just retelling your own story.
Yes.
And what I realized was that our story was our story. And certainly there were elements of it that transcended to other patient stories, but that each story is really unique. And if we wanted to affect change and really make a difference, then we needed to reach out to patients and honestly aggregate that information in a way that would allow us to change minds and improve care. So we banded together with doctors and by our deep patient communities, we were able to launch a survey early on. We ended up getting 450 patients to participate, which it surprised me to know this, but that was actually one of the largest kidney cancer patient surveys ever done.
Wow.
And from that, we were able to share experiences of patients and present that data. We actually presented data at ASCO, which is the largest oncology conference. It was kind of exciting to be standing there at a poster session and to say, we're a patient advocacy organization, but we have something really meaningful to share with you about patients and what their experiences are and how we can improve care if we really listen and to their experiences. One of the things that I'm really excited that we've been able to do is to really talk about the anxiety that patients experience.
Yes.
And show the need for better psycho-oncological support for patients when they're dealing with the diagnosis.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. So I that kind of answers the next question I was going to ask you about how do you even start doing the research? Critical to what you were seeking were, making that connection with patients to, really find out what the needs are so that you can help improve those experiences for them. You know, according to the American Cancer Society, the overall, the lifetime risk for developing kidney cancer in men is about 1 in 48. And the lifetime risk for women is about 1 in 83. Kidney cancer, from what I've read in the brief time that I've been preparing for this show, so please forgive me, it's considered a rare disease. Mm-hmm. Do you think being a rare disease is a reason why research for kidney cancer is so underfunded, and that there are limitations to the kinds of care and resources that are available for patients?
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. I almost feel like we hit this spot of we're right in the middle. I think it's the eighth most common or eighth most rare, or tenth, depending on which chart you're looking at.
Yeah.
So I always say, we're common enough that everybody thinks they know a lot about it, but rare enough that very few people do.
Right.
And so it kind of falls into a gap area, I think. It doesn't get the level of attention that it needs. It doesn't get the level of research that it needs. It's not the first cancer that you think of when you're developing new treatment. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Areas where we've seen a lot of great research in like breast cancer and lung cancer, where we're starting to identify genetic mutations and we can identify what treatments will work and what treatments won't work. Those are just things that we really have no clue in kidney cancer.
Wow.
I'll give you an example that was really stark and hard for me, was that after my husband passed away, I said, so what's the risk for my daughters? I said, I know there's some kind of genetic link here. Chris was young when he was diagnosed. His grandfather also died of kidney cancer.
Oh, wow.
And they just looked at me and said, yeah, we know there's a genetic link, but we can't identify it. And there's nothing we can do to tell you.
Wow.
Whether your daughters are at risk or not.
Wow. Wow. So I'm going to hold this thought and we will continue this discussion. We're going to go into a quick break here. You're listening to Grassroots Advocacy Radio with Marsha Padilla Goad. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will continue our conversation with Ms. Dina Battle, president of the Kidney Cancer Research Alliance, KCCure. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher, Sarah Luce, brings her unique style to the hit show, Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuoS.com.
Introducing New Soul Science, an introductory course with Ruby Betty, offering profound wisdom alongside radically simple concepts and techniques that collapse time, allowing instantaneous personal transformation. The foundational techniques of this introductory course reveal the profound inner ability each human has to access and fulfill their individual soul script or soul promise. Awakening this ability leads to the mastery of one's destiny. The concepts are totally original, immensely powerful, and completely revolutionary. They ignite an infinite fire within each listener, fueling one's ability to live out their unique soul promise. Are you ready to become more aware and access amazing personal transformation? This course is available now at rubybetty.co.
Dream on, fly high, and live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Laura Meeks guides you in finding your unique gifts and bringing them to life. As a certified life coach, speaker, and veteran bomber pilot for the U.S. Air Force, Laura knows how to follow a dream. She is ready to support you so you can dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. For more information on Laura and her work, visit flyhighliving.com.
Are you ready to embrace your essence and the magic of who you are? Let me, Emily Perkins, hold your hand and walk with you as we go treasure hunting for the gold that lies within you. Tune in to Love Living Radio every second and fourth Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on transformationtalkradio.com. For more information, visit lovelivingholistics.com.
Have you been searching for a push to step out and share your gifts with the world? Allow Charlene Hess to empower you to start shedding the layers of your ego that are holding you back and begin feeling connected to your heart so that you can shine your unique divine light and share your gifts with the world. Tune in to The Charlene Hess Show, Living on Your Heart's Edge, every first and third Friday at noon Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit CharleneHess.com.
We're back on Grassroots Advocacy Radio. I'm your host, Marsha Padilla Goad. My guest today is Ms. Dina Battle, president of the Kidney Cancer Research Alliance, KCCARE. In 2013, Dina lost her husband, Chris, to kidney cancer and soon thereafter began her advocacy effort on behalf of patients and for the increased funding for translational research. But before we continue, I want to make sure our listeners know how to contact you, Dina, and to get more information about KCCARE. Can you share your contact information with our listeners?
Absolutely. So our website is easy to find. It's www.kccure.org. And folks can also email me directly if there's anything we can do to help. And my email is dina@kccure.org. We'd love to hear from you.
Perfect. And that information is also available on our radio profile page at thetransformationtalkradio.com. Transformationtalkradio.com, pardon me. So it's been about 9 years since your husband, Chris, you know, from the time he got his diagnosis and to eventually losing his battle to this cancer, what are some of the limitations kidney cancer patients are still facing today that were limitations then for you all? You know, limitations that you feel should and could be resolved immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked earlier a little bit about the lack of research, you know, just like I was saying with genetics and not really being able to identify whether my daughters were at risk. All those types of things are still the same problems then we still have today. And that's why we're so focused on our research grant programs that will fund new and innovative research in kidney cancer. But another area that I think is often overlooked and something that we've really made a priority with KCCure is connecting patients with other patients. And I talked earlier about that those high anxiety levels. Our research showed that 70% of patients had rates of anxiety that would necessitate a psycho-oncological consult. And most of them aren't getting that kind of treatment. We can't necessarily change the way the doctors work. We can try, and we are. But one thing we can do as an advocacy organization is connect patients with one another so they don't feel so isolated and alone. And we've built patient communities that are really thriving. And I think we've been able to provide a level of support where patients can talk to one another and just share their story and hear from someone who says, oh, I know how that feels. I know what you're going through. It makes a big difference.
I agree. And as you were talking, I started thinking, and I think I probably read somewhere in my brief research about, you know, patients living in more rural areas, you know, because they are already so isolated. You know, how are your patients connecting? Is it virtually? Because, I mean, you're pretty much a nationwide organization. I mean, it will be hard to do, you know, these person-to-person type of connections and communications. How are your patients connecting to each other?
Sure. It's all virtual. We do try and connect in some in-person meetings, but it's just as you said, you know, if a kidney cancer patient goes to a support group at a cancer center, the chances of them finding someone else who has kidney cancer are pretty slim, even in an urban area. So it really is virtual. One thing we did that I think is a little different than other advocacy organizations is instead of trying to build a new community, you know, just a Casey Cure community, sign up with us, we scoured every kidney cancer community that was already in existence.
Wow.
Every closed Facebook community, every open Facebook community, groups like Smart Patients, Cancer Connect, the Insight community, all these different groups, we found them, and we have ambassadors in those programs who are connected with Casey Cure. And by sharing information, by letting them know about the work that we're doing, and honestly driving more patients into those communities by encouraging these type of connections, we've really grown an amazing grassroots representation of the patient community. And that's made a big difference.
Wow. You know, I forgot to ask you this one question in the first segment, which is perfect because, and I know you are an organization of patients and doctors, researchers, you know, it's really is a collaborative effort. Who are your partners in terms of other national organizations?
So we work with other kidney cancer organizations. One of my favorite examples is RMC Support. It stands for Renal Medullary Carcinoma Support. And Cor Connor is part of our patient advisory board. She's just one of the most inspiring people to ever meet. Renal medullary carcinoma is an extremely rare form of kidney cancer. And it impacts mostly African Americans. And it's incredibly aggressive. A lot of patients die within 3 months.
Oh, wow.
And Cora's brother was diagnosed with this disease. And when she Googled RMC and didn't find anything, she just said, well, I guess I'm going to start my own group. Yeah. And I connected with Cora early on and I reached out and said, hey, I think we could partner together. And she said, I'll never forget it. She said, Dina, I was about to give up. I'm so glad.
Wow.
To have someone to partner with.
Yeah.
And obviously, I was thrilled to have someone like Cora for us to partner with as well. So we work with other groups, like I said, that represent, you know, any type. We do have different types of kidney cancer. Kathy Liu is also a member of our patient advisory board. She represents an organization called Joey's Wings. And they're focused on pediatric kidney cancer.
Wow.
She lost her son to kidney cancer at, you know, he was 4, I think, when he died. It's a heartbreaking story.
Yeah.
So there really is a great community of activists that we partner with. And then we work with doctors. We have a scientific advisory board that includes the top renal cell specialists, in the country. Mm-hmm. And we work with researchers, people who are launching clinical trials and developing new treatments for kidney cancer.
Wow. That's incredible. And I'm really glad to see that it has been a collaborative effort for KC Care. Now, I know in the next, in the last two segments of our show, we'll have an opportunity to speak with maybe one or two KC Care patients. And we'll, you know, learn more about them and their stories. You know, are there other ways besides getting, you know, resources and connecting with other patients? How else can kidney cancer patients get involved in KC Care and contribute to the advocacy effort?
You know, there's lots of ways that we're working to change things. Obviously, I talked about our patient communities and our patient ambassador program. We also provide educational materials. And we work really closely with our patient community to make sure that whatever we're creating is done in a way that it's answering their question in a way that they can understand it.
Right.
And then we work with them to make sure that that content gets shared so that when people are asking those questions, I'm not sure what stage my disease is. Can someone help me with that?
Yeah.
You know, they're the people that say, hey, here's a link from KC Cure that explains that for you. Mm. So that collaborative effort of creating educational material is something that we're really proud of.
That's great. Now, I know we're going to start wrapping up the end of this segment, but I think the best way to end this segment is to ask you, you know, what is your vision for KC Cure? Where do you want to see your organization 6 months, a year, 10 years from now?
Well, obviously, we want to expand our research program and make sure that we can fund even more grants than we already are. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that takes, you know, expanding our donations and getting more contributions. Right now, we can fund $100,000 per year in research. But our goal for next year is to be able to do two research grants next spring so that we could, you know, do $200,000 in research. And just to clarify, so our funding, it's early seed research in a lab. But, you know, last year, our research grant that went to Dana-Farber for work that they're doing there, that $100,000 allowed them to build evidence and compete for an additional $1 million grant.
Okay.
You know, that kind of gives an example of how our funding mechanism works and what we strive to do. And we're the only private organization that has a peer-reviewed process like that.
Wow.
So expanding that is really important to us.
I think that's excellent, and we're going to hold that thought. We'll continue more on your vision for KC Cure. I'm Marcia Padilla-Goad. You are listening to Grassroots Advocacy Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will meet one or two of KC Cure's patients. They will share their stories and tell us the difference that KC Cure has made in their treatment outcomes. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com.
ignite your inner magic on Grow Your Soul Radio with Jane Machanga. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Jane Machanga explores how to overcome your fears to help you gain the inspiration you need to awaken your path to joy. Learn the way to life mastery and the enlightened path with Grow Your Soul Radio. For more information on Jane Machanga and her work, visit enlightened-path.com.
Are you tired of being tired? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the adrenal glands, the workhorse of the body? They are the means by which you position yourself in life for whatever comes your way. Tiny but mighty, producing hormones the body uses to promote energy and vitality. These adrenals determine how you respond to stress, and when depleted, the body loses its ability to function powerfully when we need it most. The much-needed adrenaline or epinephrine is not available for emergency situations. Cortisone and cortisol, the longer-acting anti-stress adrenal hormones, can also become depleted due to the pace of our everyday lives. We overwork and undernutrition our most powerful ally that helps us to live the lives we desire. We are able to determine the optimum function of the adrenals and put your system back in balance. Contact us today to feel powerfully energized at 888-777-4232 or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Have you ever wondered if there's a way to heal the deep, hidden inner issues, wounds, beliefs, and traumas? The Journey into Spiritual Healing engages people in all areas of their lives to heal themselves and others. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Dr. Jaffe brings conversations of healing of body, mind, and spirit as he merges the excellence of traditional medicine with the beauty of spiritual healing. For more information about Dr. Jaffe, this show, and his work, visit drjaffemd.com.
We're back on Grassroots Advocacy Radio. I'm your host, Marcia Padilla Goad. Joining us today is Ms. Dina Battle, president of the Kidney Cancer Research Alliance, KCCARE. We know that in any grassroots effort, any grassroots campaign, it's important to bring the voices of a constituency, stakeholders into the advocacy efforts. And as we mentioned in the last segment, KCCARE has provided an environment for their patients to become a part of the advocacy effort in terms of getting increased funding, improving patient care and outcomes. We have decided to open up the next two segments of our show today to hear from a patient of KCCARE. And hopefully we'll have a couple of other people calling in as well. Dina, do you want to make the introduction of our next guest?
Oh, sure, absolutely. So Tony Lavini is, he's one of the most active people with KCCARE, and he's really helped us to lead efforts in connecting patients with other patients to sort of share in that experience and support folks as they're going through a crisis that really occurs for so many people when they're first diagnosed.
Well, Tony, welcome.
Hi, Marcia and Dina. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. We love having you. Thank you so much. And, you know, as I was preparing for today's show and doing my brief research and learning all I can from Dina, I know that KCCARE has provided, you know, a service that has made a big difference in the lives of kidney cancer patients. I would love to know your story what has connecting with KCCARE meant for you?
Absolutely. Well, I am a stage 3 kidney cancer survivor. I was diagnosed in 2017 and had the basic standard procedure called a nephrectomy to remove kidney. And that's sort of common for kidney cancer, that patients will not get treatment if they don't have advanced diseases. Mm. So we've been on active surveillance for just over a year now, and still NED, which is a term that we get to say is the closest to cure. So yeah, it's been quite a journey.
Wow. How did you hear about Casey Cure?
So it kind of came about by, you know, just searching the internet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think that a lot of times when you're about to go through something difficult in life and you're looking for guidance, you turn to people that are, you know, close to you that have experience with that situation, you know, perhaps a heartbreak or, you know, a loss of a loved one. And there's people that you can relate to that can help guide you. Fortunately, when you get a cancer diagnosis, it's really hard to find somebody that can give you advice or that knows what you've gone through. So it was pretty much, you know, going on Facebook, searching for renal cell carcinoma and kidney cancer. And quickly, we end up in these patient advocacy groups. You see many of them for all the different subtypes of cancer. Mm-hmm. And they turned out to be incredibly important to not only my psychological well-being during the treatment, before and after, but also into making treatment decisions.
Wow. And that's exactly, you know, the message Casey Cure has been, you know, putting out there, you know, with having a patient focused. So definitely, you know, you demonstrate that they are meeting the needs of patients. What were some of the frustrations that you faced when you were looking for information? And the reason why I'm asking is because, you know, Dina, of course, has had her own personal story with her husband being diagnosed. So you were diagnosed in 2017. What were some of the frustrations that you were facing at that time?
There were quite a lot of frustrations. And like I said, I would sort of categorize them into two different areas. You know, the psychological part of it, and also just dealing with doctors. And as most people know, when you go to a doctor's visit, it's typically no more than an hour. And you don't have a lot of time to ask questions, especially if you know, with a cancer diagnosis, you might not even know the questions to ask. So when you end up in these communities and you go through posts and see this sort of questions that other people are asking, it gets you thinking. And so there's really two areas that are fulfilled there. And I think it's really important in order to understand why these patient communities are so important, you really have to understand what it's like to get a cancer diagnosis. You know, it's not easy to imagine. I certainly couldn't have imagined it before I did. Before the day you get a diagnosis, you're just generally going about your life as like a normal, healthy, unsuspecting person. You know, it's a cancer that's typically found incidentally. You typically don't have symptoms beforehand. So, you know, suddenly you have a stomach ache, you're at work, you go in for a CT scan, no big deal. And, you know, suddenly you get a phone call saying that you potentially have fatal kidney cancer. And it happens that fast. Suddenly, you're just completely blindsided. And, you know, your whole life's just been derailed off the tracks in an instant.
Wow.
And so in one day, your plans, your hopes, your desires, it can instantly just turn into distant thoughts and maybes. It's such a transformational moment of somebody's life. And you're basically hopeless. You don't know who to talk to. And like I mentioned earlier, there's people in your life that mean well. They love you. They want to be there for you. Unfortunately, they cannot provide all of the information and the comfort that you could receive from somebody who's been through the experience already. Mm-hmm. And that's where these groups are so beneficial. You ask, you know, what were some specific things? You know, you have people that are in these groups are getting medical treatment at all sorts of medical centers, comprehensive cancer centers, and seeing some of the best experts in the world. And so there is sort of a lack of standard of care with kidney cancer, meaning that not all doctors are on board with surveillance options and treatment options. The guidelines are sort of gray. So it's in these groups you get to see what other people are getting as far as treatment options and talk to your doctor about those things. That's one of the greatest benefits of it. But for me, most importantly, it was the feeling of not being alone. It was the feeling of seeing people who had been through what I was about to go through, a right. scary surgery, the uncertainty of your survival, and seeing that these people are okay. And they take you under their wing and let you know that, let you know what to expect and what's going to happen next. And that is something that could not possibly be fulfilled from anywhere else besides a patient community.
Yeah, I agree. And you sound incredibly knowledgeable. I know you were diagnosed in 2017. That's like yesterday to me, and it sounds like you've, done an incredible amount of research on your own. Now, what role are you playing in the advocacy effort to increase funding, to help, KCCure with their funding efforts and to help improve patient care and outcomes? What role are you playing as a patient?
Well, I think there's definitely a feeling of wanting to give back after, treatment was over.
Yeah.
So my primary focus is to bring patients together. And through doing that, it raises awareness for how many people are experiencing, the lack of treatment. You see so many people in the group when we have online chats every week. And we get to experience, the fact that all of us are sort of have no options available to us that are really promising. And that makes people understand the importance of raising money for kidney cancer because, like so many other cancers, there are, once you have a surgery, there's adjuvant therapies. You can go on chemo or radiation to try to prevent recurrence. And we're all sort of sitting in these groups going, hey, so my surgery is over, and now I'm just, the doctor tells me just like sit and wait. And that is very eye-opening to people. Like, we need to do something. We have to raise more money for this disease so that we can actually have a chance at preventing recurrence. That just having these people together is probably the most important thing for showing people the need for kidney cancer research.
Wow. Yes. And it's a powerful thing, to reach out to others who might not have access to the kinds of information that you have. And so the role you're playing is invaluable, not only to others, but to KCCure as well. We're going to wrap up this segment right now, and we'll come back to continue our discussion. This is Marsha Padilla-Goad with Grassroots Advocacy Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will continue our discussion with Dina Battle and Tony. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Would you like your next chapter to be free from fear and angst? Tune in to Your Next Chapter Radio, navigating through life's transitions with Shelley Ryan the fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shelley's contagious enthusiasm guides you through life's transitions deliberately, mindfully, and funnily. For Your Next Chapter coaching or to listen, visit YourNextChapterCoaching.com or call 602-617-8351. Next!
Our angels and animals are always working for and around us. Darcy Pariso knew from an early age she felt this incredible presence that was confirmed for her in a Reiki Level 1 course. From then on, she has honed her skills and dedicated her talents to providing answers, inspiration, and tools for people to move past limiting blocks and past traumas to truly live a life of happiness. For more information about working with Darcy, visit DarcyPariso.com.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, This book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Would you like assistance on your soul's journey? We invite you to explore the new Alchemy of the Goddesses Center, located in Auburn, Washington, a sacred space for healing sessions, classes, crystals, books, and many other tools to assist you in reaching your full divine potential, working together with compassion and love. Find out more about the new center. Visit alchemyofthegoddesses.com. That's alchemyofthegoddesses.com.
Welcome back to Grassroots Advocacy Radio. I'm your host, Marcia Padilla Goad, and joining me today is Ms. Dina Battle, President of the Kidney Cancer Research Alliance. Also on the phone is Tony, one of Casey Cure's patients and a powerful advocate for the organization as well. So we're going to continue our conversation, our discussion. And Dina, do you want to talk more about the support communities and other ways that patients are being supported by them?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, like as Tony was saying, I think what's so crucial and what we hear from patients constantly is, gosh, it's so nice to know that I'm not alone and to connect with someone else who is experiencing the same thing. But I think there's another area where it's really so crucial in helping patients. And Tony touched on this a little bit too, but sharing experiences gives patients new information and awareness about treatment options that they might not know about. There might be a clinical trial that is opening up that gives them an opportunity that they hadn't thought about. One example from our personal experience was when my husband was diagnosed early on after the diagnosis, through a blog of another patient, we learned about a really exciting clinical trial opportunity. And Chris he ended up being the 15th patient
wow.
to get this treatment. And today, it's the FDA-approved frontline treatment for kidney cancer.
Wow.
So he was able to get access to that treatment 10 years before it was standard of care. And that sharing of information is a great opportunity to spread awareness about things like that and to let patients know that those type of opportunities might exist for them. They might feel a little nervous about enrolling in a clinical trial.
Right, yeah.
And it's one thing for your doctor to say, hey, why don't you enroll in this trial? But it's another thing when a patient says, I'm in this trial and it's working for me. That's a much different story for that patient. So the sharing of stories is honestly an opportunity to educate and empower patients to fight their disease to the best of their ability.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. It's, it's the kind of support that, you otherwise wouldn't, know where to go and get. And so, I totally understand, what it means to get that kind of support. Now, Tony, you mentioned in the last segment about giving back. Do you want to talk a little bit about mentorship and how and the difference that makes, not only for patients, but for the organization as well?
Absolutely. I think there's a natural tendency in most people to, you know, give back when they've received a benefit from others, especially when it's altruistic. I mean, people in these communities are not getting paid. They're feeling a sense of meaning from their experience. They're turning something deeply negative that happened to them into something positive. And so it's a win-win situation for everybody. That's how I see it. If we have, and Dina brought this up earlier in the show, you know, you end up coming out of the other side of this, you know, after surgery and after learning as much as you can about the disease, with so much knowledge that's just sitting in your brain and it's not being useful to anybody. And you feel compelled to tell people about that because it doesn't do any use to, you know, tell your husband or wife and keep repeating them knowledge that you know that's going to bore them to death. There are people that actually need this information that you have. And so, you feel compelled to give away the information that you have to people that it could save their life.
Wow. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, after my husband died and I was reading a lot about grief, they talk sometimes about something called post-traumatic growth and how even after a really traumatic experience, you can move forward in a positive way, even in some ways better than you were prior to the traumatic experience. And I really think that for cancer patients, giving back and helping others, the way that Tony was just talking about, is part of a way of achieving that post-traumatic growth.
Yeah.
And that's one of the great things about these communities is that in the same vein, in the same moment that we're helping someone who's newly diagnosed, we're also giving patients who have been through this an opportunity to experience that level of growth too by giving back.
Mm. You know, it's interesting you say that, and not only on the level of improving, you know, each patient's level of care in all different ways, but also the mentorship helps to keep to increase awareness, number one, about the disease and the need for funding, because you certainly, without the mentorship and without the constant education of the public and the need for giving back, the need for a patient to give back, I think the advocacy effort can get lost, especially for this cancer, for this disease, because it is considered a rare disease. It is considered a rare cancer, and there's already a lack of funding because of that. So the continued mentorship, the continued giving back helps to increase the level of awareness and, you know, supports the advocacy effort in, you know, in an amazing way. So, you know, I think it's important continues to happen and that patients are giving back once they've received the treatment.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of information that not everybody gets because not everyone, you know, many people are in community hospitals that are getting treatment for kidney cancer and they might not know about things like genetic testing and the benefits of that.
Yeah.
And they'll come into these communities and a mentor might explain to them, hey, have you had testing yet? And they didn't even know that they had that option.
Right. And exactly.
That could lead to better treatments for them and even information about whether it could be hereditary. So there's, you know, the list goes on and on of the benefits of having a mentor when you're going through this experience.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So we are actually going to wrap up today's show. And, you know, I like to remind my listeners always, as I come to an end of every show, that, you know, as citizens and voters of this great nation, it is important. It is in our best interest to be informed on issues and legislation policies that are being considered at the state, local, and federal levels. And as citizens, it is our responsibility to educate our government officials about how our lives and communities would or are being impacted by their actions. If we don't tell our stories to them, they won't know how best to represent us. If you would like to contact me, you can visit my website at dynamicsinpublicaffairs.com. A recording of this radio show will be archived and available for download on the website. I want to thank you, Dina, for sharing your story and educating us about this deadly disease. I also want to thank you, Tony, for calling in and sharing your experience with Casey Cure and the difference that the organization has made in your life as well as the lives of other patients. I want to also thank you all for tuning in to Grassroots Advocacy Radio. Please join me every first Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio. I want you all to have a wonderful and safe holiday and new year. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to seeing you all in 2019.
Thank you for listening to Grassroots Advocacy Radio, conversations to educate, empower, and engage with Marsha Padilla-Goad. Tune in the first Tuesday of every month at 12 p.m. Pacific and 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Marsha will continue to educate you on grassroots advocacy and the vital role it plays in the legislative process. For more information or to listen to past shows, visit DynamicsInPublicAffairs.com. That's DynamicsInPublicAffairs.com. See you next time.